Well, thank you everyone for hanging in there till the end, and Brother Larry Stewart will serve us again, and he will make it all worthwhile for us sitting so late, and he will have a Vesper service and will tell us all about the kingdom.
Thank you, Brother Alex. The reality is that you've already learned that I can't possibly cover everything in Daniel in 1 hour's time, and I cannot, under any circumstances, cover everything about the kingdom in 1 hour's time either. That's just an impossibility.
This is a more relaxed period of time, and yet there is going to kind of be a test for you, as the case may be, as you go along here. We ended the last service with Daniel the 12th chapter, and very specifically, in Daniel the 12th chapter, we have the thought of Michael standing up, and there would be a time of trouble such as never was. There'll be much running to and fro. There'll be increase in knowledge. We also read in Daniel the 2nd chapter, and this is on your little chart there from the 44th verse, that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. What a wonderful thought. But notice what it says. It says, and the kingdom shall not be left to others, but it shall break in pieces and consume all those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So we have the thought in this 44th verse of the second chapter that there will be this time of trouble. That's what it's saying, because it's going to take and break in pieces and consume it. Now, brethren, if I would go around the room prior to saying that and ask each one of you, what would the kingdom be like? What would you like to really see in the kingdom? Undoubtedly, you'd start talking about the resurrection. You'd talk about peace. After all, Christmas is a time of peace, right? You know? You would talk about all the good things. That there will be no more pain nor sorrow. There will be no more death nor crying. You think of all those things about the kingdom. And truly, that is part of the kingdom. But it's not all the kingdom. And so, kind of as a upfront summary that I would like to leave with you, that as we go through this exercise of looking at various scriptures and some readings, there that very specifically you look at the kingdom as a total of all the things. And even where you see trouble, and even where you see things that are not pleasant to the flesh, that you might remember in your heart and mind that this is part of God's kingdom. And it's a necessary part of God's kingdom. Okay? Now, the question the title of our service is, what will the kingdom be like? And I would like to suggest with this the thought of, what is the kingdom like? Not only what will it be like, but what is the kingdom like? Okay? So keep that thought in mind as we go through here. Now, here's your first test. You have a blank screen in front of you, almost blank. It has a whole bunch of hexagons in front of it, on it. Okay? You sang a hymn entitled In the Sweet By and By. Now tell me about the kingdom based upon that hymn. Okay? We're going to help you. God has promised a glorious day. You sang that, right? And this is a glorious day. Number two is, by faith, we now see it draw near. That's what you sang, right? You know what faith is, don't you? It's a system of religious gospel truth. Faith is a system of religious gospel truth. And you know, we're sitting in this room, and there are how many people in the Phoenix, Arizona area? And here you have a few that have the faith that says, I understand what is taking place and what is going to take place. And by that faith, you see the things, this kingdom drawing near. Its glory will appear. Eternity's sure. The dead shall arise from the grave. They will be led by the life-giving Lord. Remember how in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, how the apostle tells us that our Lord became a life-giving spirit. Here we sang about how the world of mankind will not only be brought up from the grave, but they'll be led up to a full resurrection by the life-giving Lord. The living to health be restored. Think no longer the necessity. I'm sorry, Sister Rachel. She's not here. Right. But nurses will be put out of a job. So are locksmiths as far as that goes. So that's all right. There. Away all sorrow and gloom. A highway. A highway there. Compared to the narrow way. No stones. No heirs to trip. Just think about it. No heirs to trip. What's the biggest problem in the world, the religious world today? Full of air, right? Full of air. All the way around. No heir will be there. We won't have to worry about having difference of the thoughts because it'll only be pure truth. No lions of vice. None shall hurt or offend, we're saying. Joy shall increase. Wicked shall amend their ways. Tears wiped away. Kingdom of glory and peace. That's what you're saying about. It's surprising how many things were in that one hymn that we sang. Now, how many thought there were that many items there? Nobody wants to raise their hands. Everybody knew that was there. That's good. We read on page 274 of the first volume, the majority of his parables, that's our Lord's parables, were either illustrations of the kingdom from various standpoints and in different features, or else served to point out entire consecration to God as essential to a share in the kingdom and to correct the Jewish miscomprehension that they were sure of a kingdom because natural children of Abraham and hence natural heirs to the promise. Now, with this thought, I'd like you to consider in your mind some of the parables of God, of our Lord, I should say. Some of the parables of our Lord. And picture in your mind how they picture the kingdom. The new wine, as an illustration. Who can give me something else about one of the parables of our Lord that pictures the kingdom? Brother Jeff. Okay. And that's doing what? What does that mean behind it? What's the meaning behind that? What's the gem? Okay. Sister Virginia? Okay. And that brings us to what? And the end results will be what? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any others? We don't have time to go into all of them. For those of you who have Esword, I've taken all of the parables and put them into a list that you can put into Esword. So anybody who wants that, they can ask me for it there. We read on page 290 of the first volume, the work of the earthly phase of the kingdom of God will be to will be confined to the world and to humanity, and those who are so highly honored as to have a share in it will be the most exalted and honored of God's God among men. These are a class referred to in chapter 8 of the first volume, whose judgment day was previous to the gospel age. Having been tried and found faithful in the awakening, they will not be brought forth to judgment again, but will at once receive the reward of their faithfulness and instantaneous resurrection to perfection as men. Who is this referring to? It's referring to the ancient worthies. So when you think of the kingdom of God, what it will be like, think of having these men as leaders. And what a blessing that will be to the world of mankind. I was talking to Brother MC there in reference to Abraham and Melchizedek beforehand. Wouldn't you love to be able to sit down in the kingdom and talk to Melchizedek? Talk to him in reference to how the Great Pyramid was built? Because in that, you would see that God had a plan all along. And my mind returns to the very first page of the first volume, that the divine plan of the ages that can be seen to be both beautiful and harmonious from this standpoint and from no other. And then also the very first page of the header or the frontest page. And there it says that the divine plan of the ages, a vindication of God's character and love. And Melchizedek is going to be able to do that. And Abraham is going to be able to do that. And Noah is going to be able to do that. These men will come forth and they are going to be able to help the world of mankind up. What power will be in their words to the world of mankind? We read on page 274, our Lord Jesus, in his talk with his followers, strengthened and encouraged their expectation of a coming kingdom, saying, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging, ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. Who's that speaking about? It's talking about the church class, the glory that we'll have. And remember how the scriptures say that we will be, that he will rule or he will judge in righteousness. There will be no unfair playing. The church will be perfect, and they'll bring forth the world of mankind and judge them in righteousness. So that's some of the thoughts that are brought to our attention there. Again, we had that image, and it says that part of this kingdom work will be the breaking into pieces and consuming all these kingdoms, and this kingdom will last forever. Let's sing hymn number 24, The Year of Jubilee. And as you sing it, look at the words very carefully, because at the end we're going to go through this exercise again. Hymn number 24.
Remote is found, the other of you.
Okay, we come back to our empty maze, as the case may be. Now, you sang those things, and I see Brother Richard is looking at all those points in there. We'll go through a few of them here. The first thing that I saw was a trump. Why do I see that first? Oh, brethren, I rejoice over the blowing of the seventh trump. I rejoice of the sound of the seventh trump. I rejoice at the message of truth that we've been given. It is a joy to me. There. It's a glad and solemn sound. And you and I know it. And we have the privilege of sharing it with others. And we should do that at every opportunity that we have. My brother will tell you that I love to talk about the truth. I completely ignored him at the airport when he came and he walked with me down to get the luggage while my wife stayed with our computers and so on, my wife and my dear aunt. And then I completely ignored him because I had an opportunity. And I love opportunities. And I talked to the gentleman that was helping us with our luggage there. It's a privilege to share that to all the nations. And today, with the facilities that we have, things like the computer, we have the ability to do that. Thousands and thousands of names come in a year from overseas, from all over, asking for literature. And they're asking us. We're not asking them to take it and read it. They're asking us. And it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege that we have. The year of Jubilee is coming. You know what that means, don't you? It means a lot of complainers. A lot of people, the year of Jubilee is a time when everybody cries out for their rights. Real and fancied rights. Okay? But it's a year of rejoicing to us because of the fact that we realize that with the Jubilee trumpet blowing and with the year of Jubilee being here, we have the joy of knowing
that the presence of our Lord is here also. We sang there, ye were so with naught, but the world of mankind, having been sold in sin with Adam, can have it back again during this period of time, this millennial day. Our great high priest, full atonement made. Now, you know, every year on the atonement day, at the end of the atonement day, the whole nation of Israel gathered together outside of the tabernacle. And when Moses and Aaron came forth, as is pictured in Leviticus, the 16th chapter, you remember that Moses lifted up his hands and blessed that people? No, he didn't do that. Not in the 16th chapter, right? Am I right about that? He didn't do that. What happened in the end of the 16th chapter? Aaron did what? In the 16th chapter? Is that right? I don't remember that. Maybe I'm wrong, okay? What I do remember is the fact that the 25th chapter says, in the end of the atonement day, the Jubilee trumpet was blown. That was what was shown in the 25th chapter. In the 9th chapter, Aaron came forth and blessed the people with Moses. Now, I may be wrong about that. You can correct me on that if I'm wrong, okay? The seventh trumpet, heavenly grace, okay? And we sang, salvation now is near. Well, for us, for the church class, we have already seen the sleeping saints resurrected. We have already seen the fact that this salvation for the church class is in effect there. They have already received atonement. The joy of returning ransomed sinners is a promise. We have the divine plan of the ages. The time is at hand. Thy kingdom come. The battle of Armageddon. Atonement between God and man. And, of course, the new creation, all as being part of that trumpet there. Okay? Why, Brother Richard is looking that up, and he can comment on it if he wants to at any time. I would be happy for him to do that. There. Let's sing hymn number 72. Hail to the brightness of Zion's glad morning.
Accents of sorrow and mourning.
this time here, we're not going to go up one by one there. But you begin to see some of the beautiful aspects of what we sang about there. This and this so beautifully connects with the theme of this convention this year there from Psalms 118:24. This is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad therein. Now, when some of the thoughts that were brought out there talked about the day that we're actually living in as individuals, but there's also this aspect of it, of the millennial day that we're living in, the millennial day, and all the aspects that there will be shouts of salvation, there will be praise to Jehovah, there will be not only the things that we begin to see take place already, but the fact that the dead will be risen from the grave. More than anything else, when I have the opportunity of witnessing to people and sharing with them something about the coming kingdom, the blessings compared to the trouble that they see right now, I always think about this concept that God did not say it was very good in reference to the seventh day. But the end of this, the end of this final 1,000-year day of the seventh creative day will bring the statement, come, take of the water of life and live. Think of the joy that the world of mankind will have then. And they themselves will say, everything that God has done is very good. That statement in the very first page of the first volume, the frontest page, that says that that will vindicate God's character and government, says to me that at the end of this final 1,000-year day, mankind will look at how God has done this and say, he did it right. He did it right. We could not have done it better. Right now they curse him, don't they? And it burdens our heart when we hear those things. But every time I hear someone curse God, I think of the fact that they will come to this point of saying what God has done is very good. You know, we're living, and we're here right now in a kind of a desert area, and in some of those pictures that we saw were pictures of the sunset over the desert, over the top of my brother's house, brother and sister-in-law's house there. And I'm thinking that there's very little grass around there and so on and so forth. Just around the golf course is where people can have fun, as case may be. But the joy that the world of mankind will have will see the earth produce in its fullness, and we rejoice over that. Let us sing hymn number 73. Next hymn up, Christ's Glorious Reign.
Yeah.
I forgot to do that. There you have some of the points that are mentioned in this. And it's amazing as to how many different points. He talks about those who suffer wrong. How many people can you think of who have suffered wrong? You know, can you picture yourself in that position? But think of the world of mankind. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, you have a whole list of those who suffered wrong, don't you? And we read about how they will come forth, and they will not come forth to a trial like the rest of the world of mankind will. They'll come forth in perfection. Now, will they think that it was all worthwhile? Let us look at them ourselves and realize what a value they have been to us. And then go back and think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember how I brought out the fact that there was not so much as the smell of smoke on them when they came forth from the fiery furnace? It's a beautiful aspect that not only the nation of Israel, not only the ancient worthies, but the whole world of mankind will come to the point of realizing that their experiences have been for their best interest, and they'll be thankful for them. Those who have lost legs and arms and whatnot in war, and then realize that that rain has already begun. And already you see signs of trying to break. Man is trying to break the oppression that is upon one another. And that kingdom will be forever. And all that is summed up by saying God is love. Let's sing hymn number 76.
did you see in that song? What did you see in that song? It's your turn. He comes with righteousness. Okay. What else? Release us from Satan's bondage. Satan will be bound. What a blessing for the world of mankind. What else? What other features did you see in that song? Every voice a song. There. What a hallelujah chorus that will be. Okay? Anything else? Enrich the humble. And you could correspondingly say, put down the proud of heart, as case may be. All right? Anything else? Yes. What else? A wounded soul to cure. Yes. What will that mean for the world of mankind? Even amongst the trouble, the experiences of going up the highway of holiness, what will that mean? We sing that for Christmas, don't we? It's part of the Messiah. Anything else that you saw in that song? What does that mean? Yep. Tell me about the brokenhearted. Tell me what that means, that terminology to you.
Those that have suffered great loss and sorrow and misfortune.
Has anybody in this room lost a loved one? My aunt has. I have. This year. Right? Go ahead.
I like the one to roll the earth clouds away, because in Revelation it says when the Lord comes, he comes on a cloud. And that cloud represents trouble. So how do you roll away those clouds of trouble?
Better situation. Okay. Brother Richard, take a look at the chart of the ages. It's over here to my left here. Okay? At the dotted line, what do you see? Yes. About what you just said. What do you see there? The arches? Yeah, you have the arches up there. But what else do you see at the dotted line? Right. This shaded area represents trouble, right? Okay. The joy that we have is at this point here, that shaded area ends. Not that there won't be experiences, but there will not be this trouble upon the world of mankind. The clouds, the roll back the clouds. Yeah. Anything else before we go on that you saw in this hymn? The desert and the wilderness will bloom, yes. Do you already see that taking place? Yes, in Israel. Let me tell you about Israel. One of the most remarkable things that I saw was little blue bags. I guess I have to explain that. As I went through Israel, you'd see these banana trees and they have blue bags hanging on them. Sometimes they pull them over the bananas just before they're ripe. But I always thought of the fact that it's producing it so fast, as it were, that they were already bagging them up even before the fruit was ripe. You know, it's a remarkable aspect. The pastor mentions the fact, and you'll hear this in Israel Appointment with Destiny, about how when they first went there, it was a desert. Maybe Sister Virginia can tell us that when she said it in the film, right? The swamp areas and the cost of life and so on there. But today, you can go to the store and you can buy a Jaffa orange. And I'm telling you, they're like this. Big, beautiful oranges there. You can buy fruit. When we went to Israel, we were blessed in being able to stay in 5-star hotels for less than, I think it was $75 a day. And that included our transportation too. But in staying in those hotels, they had a breakfast. And it would be like taking the tables from all the way there to over here that were 36 inches wide and then just loading them with fresh fruit every morning. Every morning, early in the morning, airplanes would take off out of Israel and deliver tulips to Holland. You know, Holland's known for their tulips. But Israel produces tulips that goes to Holland. We had the privilege of planting a vineyard in Israel. I wish I could go back and taste of the fruit of that vineyard. The desert is blossom. I talked to a lady after one of the showings in Israel. And she looked at me and she was crying with tears running down her eyes, her cheeks. And she says, "We really love the presentation," she said. "But," she says, "nothing is happening here." She says, "Nothing is taking place." And I called her attention to how you could look over Jerusalem and how it had expanded and how the desert was blossoming and how they were able to go out and pick bananas and oranges and all kinds of fruit. And she says, "I guess I'm too close. I never saw it." But those things are happening. The desert is blossoming. I love a rose. This is probably the hardest hymn you're going to sing tonight. But it's the most beautiful aspect of the thought of a kingdom, the resurrection. You know, every time I've had a funeral, I've had the opportunity of telling people about a tree. Now, in this picture that you see before you, you see trees with their green leaves. Somehow or another, from the time that I gave Sister Hirsch's funeral, part in that at the cemetery, a lot of my funerals have been in the wintertime. And the trees didn't have leaves. In all aspects, they looked dead. I remember I gave a funeral service for Brother David Wyant's wife's father-in-law, and Brother David's father-in-law. He was not in the truth. As a matter of fact, he wasn't a very good man. He was such an awful man from the standpoint of the human race is concerned that not a single minister would give his funeral. And Brother David asked me if I would do that, and I did. And I brought this lesson there. It was wintertime, and the trees were completely without a single leaf on them. And from all aspects, they were dead. And I told the individuals that were gathered around there, and there was only a few, because not very many respected this person, that the tree is a sermon given to you by God. Because every one of you standing before me know perfectly well that in the springtime this tree is going to spring forth with leaves. And that's a picture of the resurrection. All that are in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and will come forth. Let us sing hymn number 169.
We read in John 5:26,
For as the Father hath life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and will come forth. This probably is the richest blessing of all, the thought that there will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. Think of a day that you could read in the newspaper headlines saying, "No one died today." Think of the day when you can put the health systems out of business. That I would love to do. You know, I'm very thankful for the health systems, but as I take a look at these systems, the majority of them are run by the Catholic Church. By far, the majority are run by the Catholic Church. I looked in the internet, and I looked at one health system. It happened to be Mount Carmel Health System, which is in our area. I found that there was a total of over 12,000 businesses connected with the Mount Carmel Health System. 12,000 different businesses. It reminds me, there was a lock company. It's called the Medical Lock Company. It was a high-security lock company. And they were a division of the Batesville Casket Company. Now, what does locks have to do with caskets? I don't know. But that was a division there. And I got to know the company fairly well because I'm in the lock business, okay? And I went to their main office and so on and so forth. And they gave a little spiel about their company. And then what they were telling me was the fact that they are a multifunction company with lots of different divisions. They said, "We sell you insurance ahead of time so that when you die, you'll be able to pay for your funeral." He says, "Now, before you die, you're going to go to the hospital. We provide all of the beds and the hospital furniture that you sleep in or rest in or whatever there, and we provide a lot of the instruments for the hospitals. So we got you before you die, and then, of course, we have you after you die because we sell you your casket." So they had it all the way around, you know, and I'd love to put them all out of business. I'd love to put them all out of business. Well, brethren, our time is going to the end, and the lesson that we wanted to leave with you is very simply this, that as we think of the kingdom, we do think of the resurrection. We think of the time when there will be no more death. We think of the time when there will be no more insurance companies or no need for that. We think of the time when there will be no more hunger. All those things. But we also think of the fact that mankind has got to go through the experiences necessary to bring them to the point of where they want this more than life itself. And that's going to be a time of trouble. And so we'll close with singing, "Our King is Marching On," and specifically, there's no questions at the end of it. You get the chance to think about the words that you will sing and see as to how this kingdom is coming in. Hymn number 171.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. this earth.